Hi folks, it's Well Read. Before we begin episode 4, we wanted to give you all a trigger warning. This episode contains discussions of self-harm and suicide. This part of the discussion happens between minutes 11 and 24. Please feel free to skip this if you want or need to. If you or someone you love is experiencing these kinds of feelings, please dial 988 for the U.S. National Suicide Hotline. Text 678-678 to speak with the Trevor Project Suicide Assistance Line, speak with a healthcare professional, or tell someone you trust. You are loved. You are valuable. The world is better for you being in it. Thank you.
Welcome back to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where logic meets emotions, and we all collectively forget what we were talking about mid-sentence.
I'm Busy, here to bring the emotions to the chat.
I'm Well Read, your go-to for obscure knowledge, deep dive opinions, and the occasional literary tangent.
And I'm Tall Girl, your expert in sarcasm, unnecessary observations, and committing to bit humor like it's my full-time job.
Every episode, we take on the absurdity of modern life, from the tiny social mysteries to the things that make us all go, wait, why did we do that?
It's like a late night group chat, but with slightly better audio and fewer typos.
So settle in, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive into the chaos.
Sensibly, of course.
Or not at all.
All right. We are in episode 4, and today's topic are when sensibility meets chaos and ways to stay grounded when life gets wild and out of control. We don't know anything like that, do we?
I'm basically an expert.
I'm cool as a cucumber, so this is going to be an episode totally run by you. I've never had a freak out ever.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You got to lie to your listeners every once in a while.
Yep.
Yeah, so it gives them reasons to come back.
Until we're sponsored by some kind of like antidepressant. Yeah, whatever.
All right. So I'll start us off. So I think one of the good ones is knowing when your life is spiraling, your contacts, quick and easy to go to, and not only knowing who you have as contacts to go to, but what type of person you need in the moment. I think Red has taught this to me, and I've implemented it outside of our friends and all that. But understanding sometimes when I go to a certain friend, am I going to vent? Am I going to get feedback? Or am I going for the hard truths? And that sometimes helps gives me grounded.
It's difficult to know, especially when you're in the middle of a crisis, what you need. So knowing who you most want to talk to in that moment can give you a direction on what you need in the middle of your crisis. I think that knowing who to call is really important to stay grounded. And I think that it's also important to listen to your instincts. You know, the first phone call you make is typically the right one to have made. Except if you're drunk dialing your ex-boyfriend, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Why
ever.
You take their numbers out of your phone?
Yes.
Oh,
I don't understand why some people leave it, like Dave the ex. No, no, that leads to bad things. Delete.
No, they could burn.
I am the opposite of you guys. I know they say this is a trauma response, but honestly, I don't think it is. I need to figure it out for myself first. Like, what do I want to do about this? And then I will listen to other people. It's not that I don't want to hear from other people, but like, what do I want to do about this? Like, how do I want to handle this? And then I will come to you guys and I'll be like, hey, you know, like, there's a body.
Does this make sense?
There's a body. What should I do? Like, in my head, I don't want to go to jail. I have figured out for me
why
in that moment.
Wait, why are we jumping to there's a body? Like, what are you trying to
hyperbole. It's fun.
We're from Jersey. Come on.
Let's not.
Like, at some point, we had to own up to this.
Yes, but that's like one of those stereotypes I can't stand.
You're saying you wouldn't bury a body for me?
Oh, I absolutely would. I'm just saying that I wouldn't. I don't feel like
Okay.
we need to constantly bring up like we're taking out people.
It's because we never would. Like, there will be things that will blow up with friendship. There are mistakes for whatever. There's like, whoops, I just drove my car through my garage. Like, the body thing will never happen. So it's the example. I'm like, there will never be a body. There will never be a body. Or maybe I'm just very good at watching CSI episodes and, disintegrating DNA. Who knows? All right. But there's like, in the moment, it's like, what do I want to do about this? Like, if I am having a complete meltdown at work, unrelated to death and homicide, like, do I want to quit my job? Do I want to sue my employer? Or do I just want to like go start my own company and like, make margaritas on the beach? Like, am I just done here? When I figure out how I want to handle that, I will then tend to go to people and be like, okay, here's the situation. Here's what I think in my core I want to do. Now I am willing to hear from you what like your feed might back me. Like, you could change my mind, but I don't like going to people until I have it settled in my mind. Like, what do I think I want to do? Or like, do I want to blow up my career at this moment? Or do I just need your professional feedback on like how not to blow up my career at this moment?
I think that is a bit of not necessarily, I don't know if this is trauma in the sense like you had something happen to you, but I think it's part of you are very independent in a lot of ways and you are very take charge. So I think that is just your natural. It's how you approach everything else in life. So I don't see why it would be any different for a moment when life is spiraling, that it's just your natural response to life in general.
Yeah, I
And then
mean, emotional maturity can come out of trauma response if you work at it hard enough. And I think that it may have started off as trauma response, but it can also be a sign of, like I said, emotional maturity. You have the ability to sit down and figure out logically what is your next step in any given situation. But it's not necessarily born out of something that, was hurtful to you or whatever.
I will say over the years, I have gotten better about who I will talk to. Like, there are certain people, like, I am friends with a bunch of teachers. Going to them about a work situation, they're like, whatever, there was a blow up at work. Like, you get flown across the country. I'm like, that's not the point. I need you to focus on the fact that, like, there was no body in the hotel room.
And with the bodies. Listeners, there are no
No,
bodies.
but like there are times when one of our friends is a teacher and it's like I am trying to explain to her like a work trauma situation, like I don't know what to do, or like this is really killing me. And it's like they're like, but you get catered lunch, and I'm like, forest for the trees, I might not have a job in 3 weeks. Like, I know as a teacher you don't get catered lunches, but could you please skip over that? Like, it was just like the meeting got interrupted. The caterer walked in. This was a side conversation. So, like, giving them context to the story.
Right.
And they're like, catering. So, like, for work things, I have this years ago, I went to this business thing and, like, we created this accountability group. So, like, it's other women in business and we kind of talk to each other about business stuff because we're all kind of in marketing. So, like, there's an understanding of the underlying kind of like situation. So, when it's like, oh,
Course.
I launched a bad campaign and it's spiraling and like social media hates us. Like, I can shortcut that. I don't have to explain that side of it. But when it's more like emotional and I text you guys and I'm like panic level 11, like full on busy, like crying level 6, like I will give you where I am and then what my situation is. But generally, it's like, I think I've gotten better at going to the person that I think would give me what I need to hear. Because I know I can go to certain people and be like, oh, let's hug. And I'm like, no, my entire career might blow up right now. I need this.
We need actionable
I
items.
need like, I don't need that. You can hug me later. Right now, I need to like
I need to formulate a plan. Let's talk this out. Who can help do that with me?
I've gotten really good because I am the first phone call for several people at asking, what do you need from me right now? Do you need me to tell you the hard truth? Do you need me to hug you? Do you need me to just listen to you? What do you need so that I can better then give them actionable items at either this point or later point?
And just, I think sometimes because, let's say at the moment you are being the just listening person, does not mean at a later point when that person is ready to
In a
hear
better
the hard
spot.
truths, or you think like it's they've calmed down. Sometimes someone comes to us and they're upset, and then now is not the time to be like, this is where you could have done better or what you did wrong. That's not the time. But maybe a couple of days later when things have calmed down, you could say, hey, I want to just bring this up. And so it's also knowing not only who to go to and what you need me to be, but when do I need to be that type of friend at what time?
Yep.
I also think it's when things are going out of control, trying to be accountable with people and
And accountable to yourself.
oh yeah, absolutely.
Like
So,
this is a big thing.
yeah, and I think that even if it's outside your norm, so a couple of my friends and I, we have our chat about many things, and a couple of us were all of us were actually trying to get into better health habits. So, we'll say, hey, a couple of times during the week, this week so far, for the two of them, they are not big water drinkers, where that's pretty much all I drink, and so. They always love to tease me. I am drinking water. I am making the effort, but we try to hold each other accountable, so that we don't spiral out of control. And we also give grace. We'll say, listen, I did not get to do the, I wanted to work out 3 times this week. I only got the two. This is why, and this is how I'm gonna change it, next week. I think also when we're having moments that are really rough, including I would say depressive moments. And I mean, I had one of those this year, a couple months ago, where I had a day and it was a really just mentally bad headspace. And it was moments of thoughts that I haven't had since I was like a teenager. But to me, that it is so outside of my norm that, and having been someone who always is telling my friends, whatever you are going through mentally, you have that safe space with me. I needed to, if I want to promote that to my friends, I needed to be accountable for myself. So I said to that same day, I spoke to one person. I think you were maybe, out of country and Red was on a work trip. I forget what it was. And the next day I though filled people in and I said, hey, just to be accountable, this is what happened. This is what I was feeling. This is, it's nothing to be worried about. It was just a bad headspace day. And, but this is, I just wanted to be accountable to myself and to you because I ex you to do the same to me. So it's a way to, I think, continue to build a friendship and foundation.
Yeah, knowing what you're going through is half of the battle. Like identifying why you're feeling what you're feeling and being able to convert those thoughts into actions, saying, okay, I'm feeling, I've had an intrusive thought. For those of you who are listening and don't know what an intrusive thought is, it's typically something that is out of nowhere and it can be violent toward yourself or others. And it makes you feel as though you are not in control, is really what it comes down to with an intrusive thought. So when you're having those and being able to effectively pull apart your emotions and say, yes, this is why I'm feeling this particular, or this is why I've had this particular thought, and then knowing what you need to do to counteract that is a big part of staying grounded when life gets crazy.
No, actually, So when Busy told me, I've never had that thought. And my
That doesn't
biggest,
surprise me.
one, I was like, have I ever? And then I went on like an existential crisis of like, why haven't I? Like, why is it everybody else gets to feel feelings and I don't? But then I was like, am I per like, had she called me on the day, would I have been able to do something? Or if she hadn't mentioned it, would I have picked up on it? Like, it was more that I would fail as a friend had you called me on the day and not a week later. Like, a week later, I can just be like, oh, lo siento. Like, but like, I, years ago, somebody I went to school with was like, after school, I drove her to like Taekwondo so she could like learn to kick the her bullies' asses. Like, years later, she was like, you know, that's like the reason I didn't like off myself. Like, I don't know if you know that. And then I had it with a few other people who were like, this thing that you did that I'm like, I don't even remember. They were like, that's the reason I didn't, or that was the day I was thinking about and I didn't. And I was like, I never caught it, or I never realized it at the time that that's where you were. And I worry that if Busy had called and just been like, today's a bad day, I wouldn't have recognized what today's a bad day meant for her. So I had more of a freak out about like what to do when your friend is thinking about veering into traffic. Like, I had more of a crisis reacting to it than like, oh great, she would tell me. I would be like, of course she would tell me. When she was comfortable, she would tell me. And if she never was, she never would. But I was more like, I don't know if I would have had the tools to deal with it. And I like you. I think you told me like in the front yard or in my driveway or something, you drove away and then I spent like 6 hours Googling.
I love to just send you down a spiral. You're welcome. Now, and I think the
Listen.
thing was with so for when it happened, and it was so weird because I have not had any kind of intrusive thought in that way. Like, and I think intrusive doesn't only just mean when you're thinking of harm or something of that nature. It could be just a completely dark thought about yourself or your view of yourself. But I of course have had moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm the worst person. Like that stuff, of course. We're human. But the way this hit me, because I don't normally have the intrusive thoughts, and I haven't had one of these since I was a teenager going through my parents' divorce. And that is, I was like, oh, okay, this, and I had two in the same day. And it was just, I was like, and I don't even know what happened. The weird thing was, it was just a day I woke up and it was, that's how it was. And then the next day I woke up and I was completely fine feeling. But I know people who have, I have walked people through, moments when they're like,
Crises.
I need you on the phone now to talk, or things might happen. I've been on the phone with people who have talked about, thought about it and not happen. So I'm comfortable being in that environment to listen to others. So I don't want people to think that I'm perfect or anything of that nature, that it can happen at any time randomly. Even someone who does not deal with depression or treat depression or anything or anxiety of that nature, it can still just happen. And that's why, and all the people who I spoke to that night, like the first thing was, do I need to get you help? I said, nope, it happened earlier today. Since then I've calmed down. I am fine. These were the thoughts. This is what I thought afterwards. But I wanted you to be aware of it. And the person I talked to, unfortunately, is familiar with people who have been in the same mindset set and taken those steps to act on it. And so I said, no, I'm fine. This is where we are. When the conversation happened, by the end, we were joking because we are both very comfortable with dark humor. Same thing the next day. I told Red, I told a couple of other people, and it was in a, hey, I'm being accountable. And they were like, all right. And they said, is there anything we need to be? All the same thing. Do I need to help you with anything? No. I actually woke up fine. And that I think, even when I wasn't feeling the best in those moments, being able to say that to knowing I had those people, knowing how grateful I am that I have people who I could say this to and say, and even if there was something really bad in that moment, could have said, hey, I need you on the phone now. and that we've talked about things and other, and we have people who are in the mental health field who I could have said, what do I need to do at this moment? Even if it's not my normal MO, where, what do I need to do? So I knew just having that support system was enough to also ground me in the moment, maybe not the exact moment afterwards, of just being like, okay, you have these people, you need to let them know so that it's not, doesn't come up later and might seem like it's a bigger thing than what it was. And I think that just helps the ground too.
Vocalizing is a big, I mean, it's part of why therapy works, right? Because, half the battle is being able to pull apart what you're feeling in the moment. The other half of the battle is being able to say, hey, I am feeling this way, and this is what I need as a result of that. Which I know all of us have struggled with at some point or another. Being able to say this is what I need in the moment isn't doesn't come naturally to any of the three of us, and I'm sure it doesn't come naturally for any of the people in our audience either. It's one of those things about being independent and hyper independent at some points of our lives that we just have difficulty vocalizing. But I think vocalization is the other half of the battle, and knowing, again, knowing who you can go to, who you can't go to, things like that.
I will say for the friends I have who've had addiction issues, I'm a lot of the time a call when they're like, I need a distraction. I need you to not talk about this. But like, distract me and make me laugh or tell me it's not going to be so bad. So I don't do this shot. So we don't, whatever. Like, or they'll call and they'll be like, let's go to a bar. And I'm like, no, we're not going to the bar. But like, let's go to the pottery place and paint ceramics kind of thing.
Yeah, because sometimes the maybe it's not, an interest, but sometimes it's maybe just, someone is trying to get their lives in order, and it's a simple thing that maybe like, so drinking, maybe they're not an alcoholic, but they're just trying to cut back. And so, you saying, no, let's not go to the bar, let's do something else, is trying to support them in choices they've made outside of the moment. And being supportive in that way.
I will say, I
Yeah.
also get people like calls from people who are like, okay, so just tell me it's not going to be that bad. And I was like, it's not. Like, we're going to get through this kind of thing. Like, I don't think I'm the most optimistic person, but people are like, okay, just I'm going to call you and you're going to tell me like the world isn't ending. And I'm like, of course the world isn't ending. Like, no, we have work tomorrow. Like, it feels weird, but like, I'm that person who's like, yes. Then the sun will rise and the sun will set and tomorrow will just be another day kind of thing. And I tend to be that call. So I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting.
Funny enough, for some friends, I'm also the call that's like, oh God, why isn't the world ending? Like, on the flip side, I, with the right person in the right moment, it's like, oh no, we have to work and wake up again tomorrow. Damn.
I'm the one who
Well.
makes jokes about living in the blast radius,
That is true. It'll be quick and painless.
But I
Won't even
also
know it happened.
will break
No,
out your
our one
lawns and
mutual friend, we were joking that where he lives, he's outside of enough. If there was ever a blast zone, he goes, "My luck! I not only have to see all of you disintegrate, but like half of my face would melt off, and an eyeball's popping out, and I just have to go through life like that." That's where that dark humor comes in. Hey, listen, we made it to episode 4 before we started to show our dark side. I'm, good on us. That was
I was
impressive.
like, we should probably start with a small trigger warning. Like, we might need to put an
Oh
audio
yeah.
clip in the
Yeah, I was
beginning.
thinking about that earlier. I was thinking about that earlier. Put a
Welcome to episode
BW on
four,
there.
Sorrow.
It got dark.
And I'm like, this is like when you feel bad because you're not spicy and you're just like, but I want to live in the spicy people world. I am on the other side. Like, why can't I have an intrusive thought? Like, why can't I be part of the cool club? Yeah, it's a weird thought.
So, what are some of the other ways that when your lives are spiraling or you're trying to find grounding in your life. Red, how about you?
I'm big on somatic therapy. Learning to read your body's responses to trauma or anxiety or depression or any of the various things, and then using like deep breathing techniques or stretching techniques to help get out of whatever it is you're feeling in the moment. I'm also really big on being comfortable in my own solitude. Like, I
That is
think that
a
that's
glorious thing.
something that is deeply underrated, and unfortunately, not everybody can have access to. Like, we've talked about the fact that we all have friends with multiple children, and their everyday lives are very different from ours. And being on your own is something that is so glorious, especially when you can just sit with yourself and not have any particular thoughts. Just being able to sit in crisscross applesauce position and not think
And
is
even if
something
that's
that is
not,
highly underrated.
I think also solitude can be where you need it to be. So if knowing yourself to know that it's just sitting in your room or your house or your apartment by yourself with maybe some like relax and chill music, or maybe it is, if you're a nature person and you go hiking or you go for walks just in the local parks, if you have access to that. Sometimes, for me, the other day, I realized this midway as I was talking to Red here, as I was saying, like, I was messaging her about, I was looking for a recipe to make like a yellow or a white cake that did not require butter from scratch. And I don't know why I was hung up on not wanting to use butter. I think because I would have to take it out of the freezer and let it defrost. And I just was like, I just want a cake with oil. And then I realized this midway, I was like, you know what? I'm just doing this because I'm looking to channel cooking and baking for me is one of my grounding.
Stress reliever.
Yeah, it calms me and it like soothes me. So I think that's also, it's like, I'm trying to use this as a way to get around something else I'm dealing with. And then I was able to redirect myself. I'm like, all right, we'll do that on the weekend. We'll make a cake and we'll figure it out. But right now, like, get back to where you need to be going.
As much as I hated it as a kid, like my hippy dippy parents and the meditation stuff, and like it really sets you up as an adult when people are like, oh, I need to learn to meditate. I'm like, what do you mean, Eugene? Like, how do you like? I was like, oh, right, because I got taught this when I was tiny. Like the visualization and the meditation after a lifetime of practice, it just becomes second. Like, how do you handle stress? I'm like, I use visualization techniques and I'm done with it in like 10 minutes. But I'm also designed that I don't hold it for very long. So, like, whatever my build is, like, I have anxiety, I deal with anxiety, and then I'm kind of like, cool, I'm kind of over this. For me to like hold on to it long term, it really has to be bad. Most of the time, I'm like, okay, we're good, like, let it go.
I think that's you in general. You tend to let, there are things you will hold on to. We know that.
If you manage to hit the list of like, I'm holding on to it.
I'm more, but I think Red and I are more likely to hold on to things.
We keep
Whether,
receipts for generations.
yeah, I will be dead still holding on to things. I think that is
Precious.
part, and that's not only just like anxiety, it's, being mad at someone. I mean, I think we move past it, so it's not in our daily life, but it's still like we can recall that at any moment and be like, oh, wait a minute, let's talk about this. And that's our where you are able to process, address it, process, move on, and keep going.
Which is, I like, I'm jealous of like, what's it, the Clampets and the whatever, the family in Tennessee that feuded for like decades.
Oh, the
Oh.
Hatfields and the McCoys.
Like, I'm so jealous that like, you like, I want that passionate loathing of an entire generation. I'm like, that must feel so satisfying to just like constantly be able to pick at it and like, like, I have nothing better to do today.
It's
I shall
not,
rage. And
though.
I'm like, I
It's not,
feel
though.
maladjusted because I'm like, rage lasts like no more. Like, if in a relationship, I will have a fight and then, like, okay, we had our fight. And it's usually not a fight, it's like a conversation followed by like a little bit more. Like, I don't tend to yell. I have given you a lot of ample warning before yelling. Like, you saw it. I think you've always been a little scared about like how I end things, and then you saw real time when I gave somebody like very clear three warnings of like, don't do it. Don't do it again. Like, this is your last warning. You do this thing one more time and we are forever done, and that's it. But like, I give you very clear, like, I don't play games and I don't like subtle and like, oh, they didn't read the room. I'm like, no, I put up a neon sign that says like last chance. Seriously, last chance. But then like,
Yeah.
I'm so done with you. After that, I'm so done. Like, I'm no longer angry about it. It's more just like it's a thing that happened and it processed, but like, oh, to be able to sit on multi-generational, like, I shall rage. I feel like it would be so fun.
It's not.
I
It's
know, but it's
not.
like you want what you don't have. Like, I want your hair so bad. And then, like, the first time it took me 6 hours to dry my hair, I'd probably lose it and just buzz it off.
Yes, 100%.
But, like, you want what you can't have. And I'm like, I want trauma and I want rage and I want intrusive thoughts and I want to feel the feelings. I want to live out my, like, rom-com moment of sorrow. People like, you're not upset about a breakup? I'm like, no.
And
Honestly,
see,
I'm done. I was
I
done.
had a year ago, I had a surgery, and for the first couple weeks, it was kind of weird because where most people you should be feeling pain, while there was some soreness, of course, I did not have any of the pain. The surgery was on a Friday. By mid-afternoon Sunday, I was done taking the prescribed pain pills, because I wasn't feeling anything to the point that people were concerned. But for those couple days and like a week and a half where I wasn't overly emotional, people were sending me things and I wasn't like crying or feeling like all like, I was like, is this what everyone else gets to have in their normal daily, like people who don't get overly emotional? And let me rephrase that. People who don't express emotion to the level I do. Let me, because people do feel it, they just may not express it the way I do. And I was like, oh my God, do you know how much time I could save with not having to feel all the time to the level that I feel with the emotions that I feel?
You
My
remember? Like,
God.
2 months ago, I hormonally went off track and I became you for like 3 days. Any TikTok that emotionally like involved romance or like kindness or
Or an
animals,
animal.
I sobbed and I didn't know how to like live with myself. I was like, this is how do you know? Like, I couldn't understand. There was
I
a
have
co
also asked her how she deals with this because I have
Oh.
gone through moments of that myself.
Like, I don't have this many tears. I've used up my yearly quota in 2 hours. I don't. How do you just not have stock in Kleenex? Like, how are you doing this? No wonder you need to keep on water. Like, I'm going to start texting you daily. Are you hydrated enough? How many times have you teared up?
Are you hydrated enough for your crying?
I'm
And it's not
overly
like.
hydrated and I don't need it. Like, let me give you some of my hydration.
And it's not only the crying sometimes, it's just sitting there in the emotion and just like feeling this. And I'm just like, oh my God, it was so wonderful. I'm like, oh my God, I can move about my day. Look at how much more time I have to do other things.
I will say though, we went to some, what was it, the organist over at the church and like
Yes.
Prince. I remember, like, we were sitting in the pew, and I remember looking at you at some point, and you were just having such joy listening to this piece. Like, I think it's the piece that she had played that you were familiar with. You just had this, like, elated joy on you. Like, you were feeling it. And I was like, oh, if you could bottle that right there, that's what your bliss looks like. You were just so happy, but, like, your entire body was radiating. Like, this is my happy.
I think it's Anna Lapwood. She's an organist from England, and she was doing a tour. And I did not know I was going to get into organ music, but she plays such beautiful pieces. And I just sat there, and it was absolute like heaven hearing her play in this church on this organ, and it was just like you could feel the passion. So it's not always crying. It could be just, it could be anything,
No,
but
it's like a core memory I have in my head of you. And I was like, I kind of felt awkward because at a certain point I stopped watching her and I'm just dead staring at you. And I'm like, this is an awkward moment in our friendship. Like, this is getting creepy. And if I heavy breathe
even
right now,
notice.
it's like over. Because you were like in the organ zone that I was like, I didn't even know you liked organ music. When you texted me, I'm like, a
I did
concert
know
in
I
a
liked it.
church of 14th century music? Of course I'm there. But like, you were so blissed out. I was just like,
He
oh
was
my
doing a lot of
God.
pieces with Hans Zimmerman, Hans Zimmer, Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
And it was just so good when you have any kind of music, when you hear something that just moves you like that, and you're just like, oh. But
Yeah,
yeah.
but you have to understand that not everybody gets there.
I know.
The
I'm learning that.
fact that you feel as deeply as you do is something that most people have to learn because we're taught to suppress our emotions.
I have them for everyone.
You do.
My cup runneth over. They're fun when they turn to rage. It's not often,
But
but you've
your
both
rage is
seen it.
kind of adorable. Like, I know
Please,
you think
thank
it
you.
is, like, but your rage is kind of adorable.
Why is it a door? I was shaking.
I
So
know, but something
hold on,
about it just.
hold please. Let's explain. It was the same situation that Paul is talking about where she gave the clear one, two, three, we're done. This is the same situation, and it was the same time, and the people had also annoyed Red and I, but to the point that I was
You were
beyond.
vibrating. You were vibrating, like physically, like
My
it could
whole
have
body
shown on
was
a Richter
shaking.
scale.
I am, for the audience at home, I am very quick to anger. It's one of my go-to emotions, especially when someone that I care about has been wronged. She, Busy, was so enraged. I was calm.
When we've told our friends this, my
Yes,
Red was calm.
I managed to keep it level and not freak out on people because I could see what was happening with these two. And I understood that if I was not calm, the whole room was going to go up in flames.
One of us had to be grounded, and it
Not
sure as
me.
hell was not
It was going
me
to be
or
literal
Tall.
flames.
We were in the kitchen close to knives. Thank the Lord, none of those knives have been sharpened since 1982, so you couldn't have done damage if you wanted to. But, like, don't piss you off in a kitchen ever. But I was like, oh.
My rage will come quicker when it has to do with people. Not so much if someone's doing to me, it can, but if it is happening to people who I love. Like I will get to that level quicker if it was, and people were clearly disrespecting you and being rude, and you had set boundaries, and that is when my body started to, that you had to get me out of the house because my whole body was vibrating with rage. And
And
that is
it
not even
took
an
you,
exaggeration.
like, I think it was like, what, a half hour drive into town? Like, you
Yep,
were
gotta
still
go.
just as mad when we were like, let's have some sake and like maybe stop at a bar on the way home and like touch rocks and collect pebbles on the lakeshore front before we go
Look, a
back.
river. Let's go stand in it. That's what we actually did.
Really?
I'm not even making any of this up. We literally found a river, and it was shallow because it hadn't had a lot of rain that winter. And so you could walk on the pebbles, and we had flip-flops on, and we took the flip-flops off, and we were in the side of a river and randomly. And that's just how we grounded ourselves.
But it's also like, I think we are all three very aware of like our comforts and like, whoopee kind of things. Like, these are the things to do, to have, to wear, to eat, to like chill out, to like calm down. Like, I don't think everybody has that. Like, I'm raging and I don't know what to do. I'm like, you don't have a playlist? Like, I can tell you
Yeah.
six pieces of music that are on like a rage playlist. And then we step down to like soothing classical music so I don't kill people. And then there's like soft and melodic, let's meditate now. Like, I have a playlist very much
That's your step
dedicated to
down.
like, and we're progressing down in 18 easy minutes.
Yeah. I think it's a lot easier because of how we're socialized for women to to recognize those things, but for our male listeners, if we have any, it can be a little bit more difficult, again, because we're taught to suppress, we're taught to not, I'm not saying we as that I am a man, I'm not, but culturally, as a society, we are taught not to acknowledge emotion and not to use it. So a lot of the time, where it can be easier for those of us who are socialized female to be in touch with our emotions, it can be tougher for those of us who are socialized male to do so.
I
So
will
yeah,
say,
not
I do
everybody has a
have.
playlist.
No, but like guys who are like, go hit it or like pump iron or like go pew pew something. Like it must be so nice to just be like, I punch something 3 times. I over it. Like, oh, the satisfaction.
I've had moments when it's been like, all right, I need to go work out because I need that. It's sometimes the anger or the feeling or whatever it is I need to have that physical tire. And for me, like some people, when they work out, they get that endorphin and they get the boost and like all excited.
I
For
swear
me,
that's a lie. I swear that's a lie.
I've always been one of those people, and I've always liked it. Why I will do it different times a day now. For a while, I used to do it towards the end of the night because it relaxes me, because it lets me, work out the energy and the energy to put into the emotions or whatever I'm feeling or thinking, and it just brings a level of relax to me. And that's why I didn't like doing it in the morning, because then I'm like so chill, like I could pretty much go to sleep again, and that's not what I want to do. I found ways of doing it differently, but I could see how, that is for different people. Or like you said, you have a calm playlist. When I have those moments, and sometimes if I'm at one of your houses and, we tend to text when we're home and whatnot, I'll say, hey, I'm going driving after this, usually if it's at night, because sometimes you just need nighttime, not a lot of people on the road, and a playlist of driving music. And just that, to just clear your mind, go as high, wherever you're going on the highway, and I will just go up to a certain point until I get in certain songs where I feel like I've released whatever I needed to, and then do a U-ey and then head home. And I'm like, hey, I'm home, went driving. Okay. Just so that, not worrying that something's happened. But that's another way of like with where I ground is like going out and just driving in with music.
Yeah, I don't drive so much as I listen to music. I am fairly new to driving, so I don't use that as a go-to getaway. Typically, when I need to escape, I will just put music on really, really loudly and clean. I will scrub a counter or some baseboards or whatever. Especially if I am rage filled, I can take it out on the dishwasher easier than I would take it out on other people, especially while driving. So I choose to keep that at home where not a lot of people are going to see it. But I think another good way of grounding yourself is taking care of your space. We've talked about this before, like
Cleaning.
cleaning. Yeah.
And
Making
sometimes,
space for yourself.
because I've noticed, I think it was this week, and I said to you, I'm like, hey, I was on a call dealing with something, and while that call was happening, I just sat here and cleared off my desk because it was just, there are post-its, there's just random things, and I hadn't done that like in a bit, and I was like, you know what? I just took the time, and it wasn't perfect, but it was cleared up a lot of the clutter. And I think sometimes cleaning is a way also to help, obviously smarter people than me could say how when your space reflects your mental space. So I think when I, it doesn't always for me, there's not always a correlation, but at that moment I was like, you know what, let me just clean this up. And it helped keep, I felt a little more like, okay, I have space to do what I need to, and things feel more focused. So I could see where the rage cleaning helps to keep one grounded.
also an easy win. Like, this thing is
Yeah.
difficult, but like cleaning my desk in comparison is like, okay, if I can conquer this, I can conquer bigger things.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. I could, if I do, excuse me, if I do this one little thing and accomplish that, I might not be able to control these other things that I'm working on and that are outside of my control, but at least I feel accomplished and I've contributed to something progressing in my life.
And for those depressive days that we talked about a little bit earlier, the act of achieving something, even if it's a bare minimum moment, the act of, okay, I showered today, or I, put the laundry away, or I didn't clean the whole kitchen, but I did clean this one counter. Those little things can add up to a lot, especially if you're going through something.
Yeah, and I think that there are different people do different things. We both talked about using apps. A couple people I know, a couple people you know, have turned to using these apps where they help you, either you tell it what tasks you need to do and around what time, and it gives you a gentle nudge of like, hey, like this is time for you to clean the kitchen or whatever it might be. And sometimes it also, I think the one you've referred to can also help generate. If you say, I want to clean my room, but I don't have a list of what needs to be done, and it could generate the list for you, like, oh, in a typical room, you need to do these 10 things. And
That's
so I think,
Goblin AI for those of you who are listening at home.
what was that?
Goblin AI, goblin.ai. It's an automatic task generator.
And so those are things that using tools to help keep us on track that ultimately help keep you grounded. And when things get overwhelmed, it's like, where do I go next? And
There's
help.
also, if I'm remembering correctly, let me look on my phone. Finch. Finch is another good one. It's a self-care app, but you take care of, like, it's a Tamagotchi for your phone, for those of you who remember Tamagotchis. They were pretty popular a couple years ago, so everybody should know what a Tamagotchi is. But
They're popular now. I've been giving them to my godchildren for like the last 2 or 3 years. They're back. Like the
nice.
we're not that old. They
Yeah,
exist
no.
now.
That's true. But yeah, the it's basically like a Tamagotchi for your phone. You take care of a hatchling bird and you feed it and you care for it and you are encouraged to do those same things for yourself. So that's another one that another tool that can be really useful when you're having a bad day.
We're just trying to find, like, help yourself create the habits to help find, in the storm of, in the chaos, as we're saying, helps to
Yeah.
help ground you and help create healthy habits and
And
know
a lot of
what
people
works.
like Calm, the Calm app.
I've seen it, I've never used it.
Yeah, it helps you through deep breathing and meditation and stuff like that. It's a little bit of ASMR, which I love. I love ASMR. I listen to
I
it every
don't
night
get
before I
it.
go to bed.
I don't
I
either.
desperately want the chills up and down my spine. Like it must be so magical. I have a friend who, when we go to like a concert and the organ hits a certain part, she says she feels it up and down her spine. It feels like
Oh,
somebody's
yeah.
tickling
It's
her. And
called
I'm
frizzing.
like, are all these cool things that everybody else has? Like,
Well, now I will have that with certain music. If I hear a certain note or a certain tone of singers, usually male singers with lower voice
registers.
ranges,
Let's not
or
talk about
certain
our fantasies.
what? What can you funk?
Never.
Okay. But there are certain times like music like that or a certain instrument, I guess like with the organ when she was playing, and it will like my whole body will break out into chills and all. So I will have that, but the ASMR does not do it for me.
I think it's why I like metal and trance because the music is so loud it physically vibrates your body. Like if you go to the concerts, it interrupts almost your heartbeat because the bass of the music itself is like pounding on your like sternum. Like that. But I've never felt the chills. It must be so awesome, but I wish I could because I watch
Really? With all the
people
music you listen to?
like the nails and the clickety clickety,
Now that
like.
doesn't do anything for me.
Some, it can be a lot of different things. It can be the crunching of foil or ASMR. It can be a lot of different things. I know, I know. That's not one that a lot of people find soothing, but there are a lot of ASMR creators out there that actually do ASMR for people who don't experience tingles. Like, for some people, the thought of their hair being brushed is enough to give them frisson. I'm not one of those people,
What?
but I do. I know. It's
You have
because
that
you can't,
glorious hair and
you cannot
there's
brush my hair.
well, I
You
mean,
should not
no, we
brush my
can't
hair.
brush your hair because it'll be a lion's mane, but like
I will not be able to walk through a door sideways.
if I find out that I'm like leaving this earth due to some medical malady, like I'm running
You
off
can
to
have, I'll shave
France.
my head and you can have
No,
it.
no, no.
Oh.
There will be never a shaving of your head. We know how I feel about this. Apparently, one of my comforts is you having long, lustrous locks. I will run off to like a cave in a cheese cave in France with like all the wine and just pay somebody to rub my head until I die. Like I will die of wine, cheese, or head rubs, and that's like that's the thing.
Definitely. No, head rubs. I do get friction from head rubs, but the thought of somebody doing it
Oh, I was like, how can
doesn't
you
give
be
me
dead in the
frisson.
scalp? Like, I feel so bad for you now. Okay, no, that miss, thank you. That gives me comfort and joy in my soul to know that.
Now, see, I would actually, if you could tell me, if you could describe that, like, because I enjoy having like a head massage or something like that, would just talking about it would do it.
Would give you the frisson.
What's the little like spork thing you can put on your head with the little metal, whatever? You can like
Oh, the
massage your
soul
scalp.
extractor. They call it the soul extractor.
Oh, the what?
Ew. The soul extractor. It's
Somebody.
metal tines with little plastic balls at the end, and sometimes they vibrate, the handle vibrates so that you can scratch at your scalp with the
Oh,
metal
those
tines
things.
vibrating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me one that, like, it was a promotional thing, and I was like, you cannot hand this out in offices. I sat in my office for like most of the day just making my own scalp happy. And I was like, I was on calls. I was like, this is wrong. This is not something that should be an office promo item.
It's also good for stimulating hair growth. Fun fact, massaging your own head. Or having somebody massage your head for you.
It's just, like financially, I need to hit lotto just so I can have head scratching money. Like everybody
That
else is
makes
like, I want a
definitely.
mansion. I'm like, no, I just want head rub money.
Yep, that makes sense.
So here's a question for you guys. What is a weird self-soothing habit that you have?
Weird self-soothing habit. Well, I think we kind of mentioned that for me. I enjoy, I go to the kitchen. It just, it, I don't know. It's ties into my, I enjoy feeding people. I enjoy being creative and trying new things in that regard. I love traveling. So when I could take a recipe from a different culture, even if I've never had it, and God love you too, you've been on the end of when I've fallen down holes. I'm like, all right, so
We love those holes.
Moroccan food. I want to try. I know I owe you. Tall girl lent me her, what is it, her tagine, and I have yet to make you anything. I'm working on that.
You fell down a homemade tomb hole? Like, we're fine. We're
That
fine.
is
You
true.
rolled up to my house with a cup and a half of tomb, and we're like, here, it's terrible. I then consumed 80 cloves of garlic before you had even left my town.
If anyone's had, if you go out for shawarma, or when you had the white garlic sauce, that is what she's referring to.
Yeah.
And
Oh, tomb.
then I felt the need to make it with shawarma that I made one time, and then because it is of a consistency of a product that tall girl does not want to that you bring out the best, not for her, and
It's, yeah.
so she can't have potato salads. that have that ingredient. But this that I made, she enjoyed, so I made that into my own garlic-herbed potato salad that I have to put in two separate containers when I bring to her house, so that there's no fighting going on over who gets to eat the potato salad.
Honestly, every single time you drop it off in my driveway, I consider locking myself in my car and not bringing it inside and just hoovering 12 pounds potatoes and garlic sauce and, like, just muscling my way through the after effects of all that.
So
But it's
yeah, I would
like,
say that.
that's like the love language thing that you do. Like,
Yeah.
you do it to comfort yourself, but also if you know we're down, you will tend to, like,
Just
find
show up with food.
something. Yeah. Like,
Or some random gift that you saw that made you think of us, or yeah.
yeah, so cooking is definitely, cooking, baking is definitely one of my comfort habits. What would yours be, Tall? And I don't know if that's weird so much, but
It's
the
not
level
weird,
at
but
which I
we'll accept it.
thank you.
Yeah, it's.
I'll be weirder next time.
I am a water baby at heart. So, like, comfort is to find a pool, to find a body of water, to, like, go get my hair washed or something. Like, something that involves water will make me happy, but also, like, hippie-esque, bare feet on real grass. Like, not in Central Park because I don't want to die of a foot fungus, but, like, standing on, like, grass makes me very, very happy and makes me feel grounded. And I know that's so weird. And people are like, touch grass. And I'm
No,
not like, no, literally,
oh,
my feet on grass is like.
there's a specific term, and I can't remember at the moment where that is. Give me a moment, I'll go look.
And then
Okay.
for some reason, and I don't know why, and you guys know this, in like the most stressful moments, and it's not like I grew up with this, but like a sub, like crap white bread. Crap deli turkey,
Turkey.
turkey, lettuce, tomato, oil, vinegar, no mayo because that's unnecessary in this earth. Salt, pepper, oregano. I don't know why. It's not something I grew up with. It's not something I choose to eat really on a regular basis, but like that, lo mein with kimchi are like, for some reason it does it. And the other day I ended up eating papaya and Chinese mustard greens. And it, like, I wasn't even stressed. It was just like, I don't know what to eat for dinner. And then I was like, oh, I just found a food combination that's going to make me happy. Like, there's no good reason for it. But like, yeah, I don't know why. You guys now, when I'm truly like, when I worked for a startup for a while. And at one point I had like evaporated off the grid for. I don't think I didn't talk to you guys for like 3, 4 days.
Oh no, sweetheart, that was a lot.
That was a lot longer.
It
Was it?
was
Like,
yeah.
I was so stressed, my hair was falling out from my job. Like, it was stress like I've never had before. At some point, you guys sent me, like, what do you need? And I'm like, I need a turkey sandwich, and it's only 8 in the morning, and somehow you guys got it delivered to the office.
Yep,
I
I
don't know
DoorDashed that
why.
shit to you.
I don't know why. Like, it's not something I would naturally gravitate to. Like, it wasn't a treat when I was growing up. I have no idea why, but that was like all my soul wanted. I'm sitting there. And at the time, like, it was a glass office. I'm just sitting there staring at this sandwich. Like, I have the best present in the world. They sent me turkey. I think everybody left me alone for the rest of the day because they were just like, Good luck there.
Do we know these friends' phone numbers? Because it looks like you're having a breakdown over a turkey sandwich.
I don't know why. It was just the thing in my soul that, like, I don't know. Yeah.
No.
I think that's the weirdest. I mean, except for my shawl collection, but that's just because I'm a grandma. I love a good shawl. It just,
Shawls and mumus.
oh my gosh. Like, Golden Girls are where it at. Orthopedic shoes, shawls, loose clothing. Oh, I
And they're
have
making
date
cute
nut bread.
orthopedic shoes now too.
I'm so ready to be a senior citizen. You have no idea. Everybody else is like, I don't want to get old. I'm like, those will be my glory years. Bingo? Bingo every Tuesday?
What about you, Red? What is your
I'm a
possibly your
texture baby. So I anything soft and velvety or silky is what I gravitate toward when I'm feeling off. I'm like, I have a 25-pound weighted blanket that is covered in velvet that makes me, and the velvet has little nubs on it, and it makes me very happy. It's like being massaged all over.
I love them for like 10 minutes, and then I'm like, oh my God, get off me.
Oh, I sleep with mine. When I'm having really bad anxiety, I sleep with mine. I love those things. I've actually looked for heavier than 25 pounds
Oh,
because
Jesus.
I want to feel like I am sinking into the bed or the couch, depending. But yeah,
Because
that's
it
what it
makes you
tends
feel
to.
like you feel grounded or you feel contained. Like, what is the feedback you get from it?
Yeah. So oftentimes with anxiety and depression, and especially when those two things combine, you can feel like the world is kind of spinning off its axis, and the weight keeps me feeling contained, and the texture of the blanket helps me feel grounded. It's something that I can tangibly have that makes me feel like the world's not spinning apart.
So, not to be insulting in any way when I ask this, but you know, like dogs have those thunder vests?
Yeah,
Like,
it's
do you think
exactly
you
the same
could,
idea.
but do you think you could head off a panic attack? Like, if you
I
got,
have.
if you, like, if you get under it, you can, oh, okay. Oh, that's super cool. I'll buy you a 25-pound blanket.
I
Well,
have
no, she
one.
has the 25. She
I
needs know, but like, two is
heavier.
a 50. Like, you know, we can
That's
just layer them, right? Like,
true. But yeah, that those are some of the things that maybe a little bit weird that keep me grounded, but I think that texture and weight are probably my two go-tos. I love anything soft.
I think it's interesting that each one of us have different things and variety. And I hope that our listeners that this can resonate with different people because people are so varied in what comforts them, what grounds them. So hopefully,
For those of them who haven't really thought about it, maybe this gets them thinking about it.
or looking
Like
for a
what?
new one.
Yeah.
I'll say I used to work with somebody who the bubble wrap, they would buy it in particular because the pop sensation really did something for them.
Yeah. We all know people who paint, who draw, who produce art. Sometimes when I'm feeling particularly rageful, I will stab a needle into a piece of fabric several hundred times and come out with a picture.
A pretty
It's
picture.
needlework, yeah, and it's thank you. But that's, there are so many different things that can help you to remain in a good headspace and head things off at the pass, or make things better when things have gotten difficult for you. And hopefully it gets everybody thinking about what's good for them and what might be something that they hadn't thought of before.
Or just start a podcast with two of your friends and, you know,
Head
hedge off.
the insanity that way.
Yeah, like basically induce anxiety about something else and then just, you know,
Just
talk
add a
therapy with your
new
friends.
anxiety. And that's it for today's episode of Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos. If today reminded you to check in with yourself, call a friend, or clean that one messy corner of your room, mission accomplished.
If you enjoyed this, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share it with a friend who also walks the fine line between sensibility and chaos.
You can find us at SenseSensibilityChaos.com, TikTok until it disappears, YouTube, Blue Sky, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to dive even deeper into the chaos? Join us on Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes, Q&As, and all the tangents we cut from the main show. Your support helps keep this podcast going.
Remember, it's okay to have it together Sundays.
And totally fall apart on others.
We'll see you the next time.